Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, and it's the dawning of a new era for the Winnipeg Jets 2.0. And, Richard, it dawns with a victory tonight. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, analyzing tonight's effort, an effort that the Winnipeg Jets would, say is probably one of their better efforts throughout the course of the entire season. And somewhere, if Claude Noel watched this game, he's got to be sitting there saying, why couldn't you do that for me?
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well, Drew. This is your classic new coach game.
Yeah.
Everybody was on board. Everybody was playing hard. The leaders were going. They were sticking up for each other. They moved the puck really nicely. They created opportunities by skating a lot, getting on the power play a ton, playing well in terms of puck movement, going to the net. I mean, yeah, it's everything. It's everything they weren't doing before, and they did it all tonight. Guys, getting on like Setoguchi. What do you say? It was a great performance, long overdue, but the fans certainly appreciated it tonight, and you can't criticize much of anything.
No, exactly. And for the Jets team that has been, they've been the victim of their own, criticism, and that they've been deserving of their own criticism as of late. They came out and they played a good game tonight. They played against an opponent, the Phoenix Coyotes, who've been struggling as of late. Mm-hmm. But, whether or not you believe they have any playoff hopes, whether they do or don't, time will tell. But the Phoenix Coyotes are ahead of the Jets in the standings. So this is a game that the Jets had to win, and they get the boost of a new coach being there. And it really did seem obvious that, the team that had tuned out Claude Noel tuned back in, at least for tonight, against the Phoenix Coyotes with Paul Maurice behind the bench.
Because it was such a short turnaround, there's only so many strategic things that you would have seen tonight, right?
Like
Paul Maurice can't affect too much change with respect to strategy over the course of 4 hours, as even he said. He was coaching a lot on the bench today, and he was certainly active. But that being said, this is an emotion thing.
Yeah.
More than anything. And the Jets certainly fed off it. The crowd fed off the team. The team fed off the crowd, which is what happens in this building when they're really going. And, now they head out on the road, and we'll break down all the goals, obviously, but they got a cake game in Calgary on Thursday.
Well, a team they've lost to once already this year.
Yeah, but Calgary's awful. And Saturday's Edmonton. They play two teams that are below them in the standings, Drew, which is hard to do.
Well, when they were 25th coming into tonight's game, you're right.
So two teams below them in the standings, two teams that are terrible. Calgary can't score, Edmonton can't defend, and those are two games they should win. So, yep. then you're feeling good. Then you got Maurice. He can do more. When you win, even when you lose now, he can do whatever he wants, really. But when you win, people listen. And if you can come in as a coach and start winning early, people will listen. People will like what you're selling. And it's a lot easier to coach when you're winning because there's buy-in. And Noel was losing, and whether or not he was right in terms of a lot of things he did, they weren't buying in.
That's right.
Because what he was doing, they didn't think was working. Now, of course, the thing you have to note is that they're part of what that is. But at the same time, that's how players think about it. And they're like anybody else.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion on it.
I agree with you there, and we'll obviously talk more about that later on, probably Wednesday on NHL Midweek, yep. And Saturday on Illegal Curve, and we'll talk about it really for the rest of the season to some degree. Anyways, let's get to tonight's game and the scoring summary tonight. Phoenix Coyotes opened the scoring. It's a power play goal. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, his fifth of the year. Assist to Mikael Bodker and Shane Doan. That comes at the 12:16 mark of the first period. Jets are on the penalty kill, and there's sort of a scramble, and the puck comes back out to Ekman-Larsson, and he has the patience, and he waits for sort of the scrum in front of the net to die down, and he has a wide-open net to shoot it into.
Yeah, the Jets collapse. The puck, there's a scramble, and the puck just pops out. But the Jets collapse really low there, like most teams do, and the point men are open. And so when the puck pops out to the point man, and Pavlik's kind of down, and everybody's all over the place, and Ekman-Larsson's got a good shot, bad combination, 1-0.
Yeah. The Jets, to their credit, responded very quickly thereafter. 36 mm-hmm. seconds later, it's Olli Jokinen, his 12th of the year, assist to Dustin Byfuglien. I'll let you take this one. I'll be honest, I was typing, looking down after the previous goal. I didn't see how this one came to fruition.
Well, this one here is with Buff creating, and when Buff's able to create space, Jokinen goes to the net. And Byfuglien makes a nice play. And I'm trying to remember exactly which goal drew now because I'm mixing up the Byfuglien pass from earlier to later. But Bufflin comes around the right side there, and Oliokun and tucks it in from the left side. That's a different goal I took notes on. I thought you were taking notes on this one. So
I told you I couldn't take notes on this one. I wasn't.
Sorry?
No. That's the next one is the Eric Odell one, Michael Reeves.
Yeah, Jokinen's on the right side of the net, if I recall. I believe he had one chance earlier, and then Bufflin took the puck back, patient, and then got it to Jokinen again. Jokinen got the second chance. So there you go. Bufflin, beautiful back. There we go. Bufflin, beautiful backhand pass. It was a pass from Bufflin, shot.
From behind the net.
Yeah. Pass from Bufflin, but from behind the net. Jokinen gets a chance, gets his own rebound, eventually and scores. But Bufflin was playing great tonight. I like him at forward, the way he's playing. And I know they play him on defense at the point, and that's on the power play, and that's fine too. But he's creating space and shooting well and skating well right now. And, I thought he should have been the first starter tonight. He thought he played a real nice game.
Yeah.
And now that my remembering that first goal, he creates from nothing, right? Most guys can't make that pass on the backhand in front of the net on the tape to Jokinen. They just can't. And especially in the Jets, they can't, because a lot of guys can't pass on this team very well. And a good reaction to the first goal.
Yeah, and thank you to our friends at TSN Jets for playing the replay at the perfect time up here in the press box. At the 18-minute mark of the first period, the Jets took a 2-1 lead before the first period was up. Eric Odell gets his second in as many games. Mm-hmm. No assist on this one. It's an unassisted goal, based on what I'm seeing here.
It should have been. Originally, they gave the assist to Bogosian and Wheeler, which was hilarious.
That's why I was confused. Because I leaned over to you in the press box. I said, how could there be assist? It was a pretty clear turnover,
right,
as far as I saw.
What happened here is Bogosian, who's a very good skater, creates speed going through the neutral zone, but plays into the trap. Phoenix traps him to the left side. He goes to he's on his off wing. And so he gets trapped. Like that's how the trap works. And he gets trapped. It turns the puck over. Now, what he does do, which is a good thing, is he stays on the guy who stole the puck off of him, pressures him into a turnover. The turnover pops out to Eric Odell, who rips a wrist shot on Smith, and it's 2-1. So the turnover is something you want to avoid, but when you stay on the guy you turn the puck over to, you therefore create a chance and create a turnover, which results in a chance, and Odell rips it.
So his turnover almost turns into an immediate forechecking opportunity, which creates a turnover, and Odell is able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I mean, most of them don't happen like that, but that one was fortuitous, and Odell took advantage.
That's right. Odell came with
Smith was terrible tonight, by the way. I mean, I assume most Team Canada fans were thinking to themselves, dear God, there better not be an injury before the tournament, because this guy's one injury away from playing for Team Canada, and he hasn't been good lately. We're in trouble.
Yeah, he was awful, and the worst goal came later on, and we'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. So it's 2-1 for the Winnipeg Jets at the end of 20 minutes. Second period, again, Jets controlled most of the play all game, and they controlled it.
Better
team. Second period as well. They were the better team tonight. Mm-hmm. Blake Wheeler gets his 17th of the year, assist to Mark Scheifele on this goal.
The assist is to Mike Smith. Mike Smith takes the puck, misses his defenseman on the outlet pass.
Yeah.
Scheifele smartly throws it right on net. Smith's not square to the puck. Rebound, putt right in front. Wheeler backhands it in. So he had Smith on the other goal. You could argue whether or not you should save the wrist shot before that.
Eric Odell goal.
And then here you have him out of position. You know, you have him making a turnover and then not being square to the puck. And it's 3-1.
Yeah, his greatest asset being puck handling. Today, he wasn't great in any aspect of the game. He does handle the puck nicely, but in this one, he just missed his man, and it was an easy goal for the Jets. And this isn't a team that gets a lot of easy goals.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was nice. It was 3-1 at that point, and that was at the end of 40 minutes. And the Jets, 3-1 lead, end of 40 minutes. Phoenix Coyotes don't score goals very well.
Yeah, Phoenix from behind is going to have a tough time because they need to be more aggressive.
Especially without Mike Ribeiro. He left the game and did not return. So, okay. I mean, that's, when you're losing Mike Ribeiro, he's, one of their key offensive players right there, one of the greater, one of the better playmakers in the league.
Absolutely.
Better passers.
There's another
in the
problem. When you play half the game up shorthanded, it's hard to come back.
And we'll get to the penalty situation here. Exactly right about that. Jets make it 4-1 at the 4:18 mark of the third period. Michael Frolik, who ended up being the first star in tonight's game, he gets his 10th of the year, assist to Adam Party and Brian Little. This was the worst of the goals that Mike Smith gave up, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
This was a routine wrist shot that just beats him between his glove and his body.
Routine wrist shot, bad angle. I don't think it was tip, but it was hard for us to see. Tip, obviously, then you have to give him a break on it. Didn't look that confident anyways, but if it wasn't tip, terrible goal, 4-1, and the game was over by then.
Yeah. it was over at that point to 4-1. The Coyotes aren't coming back even against the Jets and their defensive lapses, but they avoided those lapses for the majority of the game tonight. So
right.
They get credit there. Jets made it 5-1 on the power play. Devin Setoguchi gets the goal, assist to Dustin Byfuglien and Toby Enstrom. Just another great pass by Byfuglien.
Yeah, well, what you have here is Byfuglien going down the right side, which I think is better. You know, he played a little bit on the off wing on the power plays because they want to feed the one-timer, but he's just so much more comfortable on the right side. And he just looked this way, protects, again, it kind of angles in, protects the puck. And Setoguchi, who did this a lot more before he came to the Jets, kind of came in from the left side, moving into the slot. He's on his off wing. Byfuglien feeds in the pass, shoots it. That's Setoguchi's strength is shooting from exactly where that spot was.
Sure.
Byfuglien's strength is passing. Beautiful pass. 5-1.
Mid-slot, nobody touches him, and it just, he, for all of his ills, and he's got plenty of ills, and he hasn't been very good for the Jets at all this year, shooting the puck is a strong suit of his.
Yeah, he's been terrible. He played well tonight.
Yeah.
Third star.
Not 100% sure why, but whatever. No sense in nitpicking tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Power plays for the Jets, 1-for-8. They had 8 power play opportunities in the course of the game tonight.
Yep.
So that was just a tremendous amount of time on power play for the Jets. They only capitalized that one time, but I thought that they did move the puck around decently. You know, they had a couple opportunities where there's some rapid fire shooting happening where they couldn't hit the net if their life depended on Trouba and Bogosian both teeing up from the point. I think it was either in the 7th power play or maybe it was even the 8th power play where they just kept firing one after another after another after another. That was relatively entertaining, but not successful when it came to putting the puck behind Mike Smith in those instances.
A couple things to note. Bogosian was the guy. He was riding Bogosian and Enstrom. Enstrom played 26-21. Bogosian played 24. Byfuglien played just over 20 minutes of action tonight. I thought he was relying quite heavily kind of on all those three lines. Jokinen played 16 minutes. And you had Setoguchi playing 16, Scheifele playing 18, Little playing 20, and you had Ladd playing 16. Obviously, he got in that scrap, right?
Yeah, he got a 5-minute major at some point.
But you had a lot of, and then you had Wheeler with 17-49. So a pretty even dispersal of ice time. I think that's interesting. It's something to follow going forward because you have a new coach, right? And when you have a new coach, he's going to utilize the players from his spot on the bench a little bit differently than the previous coach.
Yeah.
And
he was able to roll 4 lines because they had a big lead.
Yeah. And he was playing those guys. And at the end, he was giving those guys giving guys like Party and Wright some power play time, you know, which is the honorable thing to do. You know, we always call out coaches when they don't do that.
Yeah.
Give them credit for doing that up 5-1 power play. You don't throw on your best players the whole time.
Nope, because you're going to have to see the Coyotes again this year.
And in general, that's the way you handle yourself.
Exactly. And Paul Maurice is a professional head coach. He's not coming out of here as a neophyte. He's not going to be raw college. He knows how to handle these players and how to play in the NHL and how to act appropriate as an NHL head coach. Winnipeg Jets next in action Thursday night in Calgary, back home Saturday, 1 p.m. face-off against the Edmonton Oilers. The next time the fans will be able to see them on home ice. Wednesday night, 6 p.m. NHL midweek on TSN 1290. We'll talk about the Jets' removal of Claude Noel as head coach, the hiring of Paul Maurice, and we'll get you set up for Thursday's Jet Flames game with George Johnson from the Calgary Herald. For my colleague Richard Pollock, for producer Michael Remus, I'm your host Drew Mandel. Stay tuned for audio from both the Winnipeg Jets dressing room, courtesy of Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk. Dave Minuk went to the home dressing room. Ezra went to the road dressing room. Both of those audios will be available on illegalcurve.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you Wednesday night for NHL Midweek.